KCLW 83 is now Spectrum One, a spectrum of podcasts all in one place, online and on demand anytime at SpectrumOne.net. This is Spectrum One. The following podcast is a presentation of Spectrum One, online and on demand at SpectrumOne.net. The following Spectrum One podcast may contain language that some may find offensive. Listener discretion is advised. And now, WrestleChat.net, the freaking awesome network, and Spectrum One present the NAWC. For nearly a decade, the wrestling podcast of record, bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007. Sponsored this week by the following.
Than 24 hours into 2016, and already Vince McMahon is trying to drive stakes into our heads. Oh. Are we on? Yeah, it certainly sounds like it.
We've been on there, Nikki.
Okay. Getting used to the new studio, and I can't see the boards from here. So, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to 2016 and welcome to our shiny new studio for the North American Wrestling Connection. My name is Nikki Heyman, and at the table today we have a tech, a chair, and a loudmouth. I'll start with the loudmouth, Jason Block.
Happy New Year to everyone here at Spectrum One. Boy, that sounds nice to say.
You are crazy hot. Somebody fix that.
Whoops, sorry,
how's that? Any better? Is that a little
much better?
Much.
Okay. Yes. As you can see, we're still working out the kinks of this, so let me bring in the tech here, VRM.
All right, where do I have to start? Soundboard, or do I start in the servers? After I've made sure to muffin-proof the damn room this time.
That is why Chris isn't here. Although, if just for Jim, I would have been happy to bring him inside. But yes, our third at the table tonight is our resident chairman, Brian Henniger.
What it is. Great to be back here, ladies and gentlemen. But you want to know something, Nikki? I know it's 2016, but to be honest with you, I remember 2015 like it was yesterday.
Attaboy.
Oh, God.
You are correct, sir. Yes. Heyo!
That is the voice of the awesome sound guy, Mr. Jim Williams, of course.
What do you want from me, Block? You're not that nice to me. You're not that nice to me usually. What the hell do you want?
Come on. It's a new year.
You want some? It's a new day. Yes, it is.
It is.
Yeah, Vera, get the soundboard priority.
Yeah, I think there's some muffins with the soundboard because it's sounding...
muffled.
Sounding
quite booty.
I'll be in the back plugging some stuff in, so have a great show, gang.
Okay. VRM, double check everything once we're off the air.
Right.
Pardon.
Pony.
I almost spit water all over the keyboard because you gave me laugh the second I...
The humor has not changed. Now, granted, we have not had a show in 2 weeks, and to be honest, you really haven't missed much television-wise. I'm not gonna go over the Slammys because, well, there's another thing that hasn't changed around here, and that is our recap policy.
If we do not do recaps, if you didn't watch the show, that's your own damn fault.
All right, check this balance because that sounds.
So while you're kicking that, the only things that I am going to touch on from the Slammys is a wild Seth Rollins appears. He uses limp. He uses smile. He gets probably the biggest face pop of the night. So Brian, you know, did you get to see this? Because I had to go watch it on rerun just because I was in a very, very dense no wrestling zone.
I didn't get to see this, but you know, it's obvious they're going to be wanting him back as quickly as they possibly can. No, go ahead.
I was going to say, then I'll throw it to VRM. There's no way he can come back heel.
No, not after this reaction.
And this might actually, and that's kind of good. I mean, it's worked out a little bit, almost serendipitously, I guess is the word.
It works that you can put this into a program with Triple H trying to get back and with his friend.
Yeah.
I'll be your best friend. Yeah.
I want my best friend back. Because he really doesn't want to deal with Roman Reigns, because Roman Reigns will kick everybody's ass and take names. Apparently cannot be bribed because he's a Samoan.
Yeah.
And whoever keeps hitting him in the head, stop that.
He doesn't like that.
All you're doing is making him mad. You're not doing any damage. And Roman, write Seth Rollins a thank you letter for letting you use his storyline while he's rehabbing.
Now, there is also another reason why he was there beyond the Slammy, which I'm hoping will be released this Sunday.
And that is?
The Madden WWE 16 Finals.
Ooh, that's true. As the New Day continues to stack their money high between Up, Up, Down, Down, and all the merch involved with that, and their New Day merch, and the running gag of the Lucha Dragons interrupting them every single time.
Oh, and by the way, just to let you know, I was live at Raw this past Monday, which we'll get to in a minute.
Yes.
Tons of kids wearing the damn unicorn horns. This is over. O-V-E-R. Over.
That must make our friend Jim Williams very happy.
That's a soundbite I'd have Jim get me. You know, who doesn't like the New Day? Nobody! Anyway, but yeah, the New Day is making money hand over fist. They're having way too much fun. And you can't go wrong by them. And they're not overusing them, which I'm very happy for that. Because I would hate to see them wear out their welcome. I've discovered that the Slammys is a great place to start feuds or switch feuds. Since the New Day has been mostly up to their neck with the Lucha Dragons and the unfortunate. Well, let me ask. VRM, you're a boardie. The Curse of Sin Cara?
An injury bug?
Well, just the fact that, that Hunikara took a bad, bad spill in his match. Was that at the show you were at, Jason?
Yeah, it was this past Monday night. I believe they were it was one of them. He was playing. I think he was fighting Kofi Kingston. Was he? No, he was fighting Big E.
Yeah, he was the second. Big E.
He was up against Big E, and he separated his shoulder. But Hunico is such a badass. He put his they popped his shoulder back in, and he finished the match.
Wow.
Just saying.
So, you know, I don't know how long he's going to be out. And hell, he wanted to work. He wanted to work SmackDown. He's like, you know, just because I'm hurt doesn't mean I can't at least go out there and, you know, and back up Kalisto or go get the Dudleys.
Yeah, exactly.
But we also had a feud switch. I don't know if this is switching feuds or not. Kevin Owens was upset that he did not receive Breakout Superstar of the Year. I'm a little upset for him as well.
Sorry.
Go ahead. No. Go ahead.
You finish yours off before I get to this one.
I could really flip a coin over who could have gotten it, Owens or Neville, in that particular case. But Owens wasn't a happy camper. When is he ever a happy camper? Especially
he's
when
never
he
a happy camper.
And with what he did to Neville, ow, does not begin to describe the vicious.
He basically split the uprights on the pole Monday night with Neville, because Neville beat him with he reversed the pop up powerbomb into a roll up sort of Hurricane Rana roll up sort of move, and Owens was pissed, and I mean pissed, and it was a brutal brawl. But then a certain member of the Dynarchy decides to help save him.
Well, that's because he doesn't like seeing little guys get beat down.
It sucks. It's terrible. It's awful.
Yeah, exactly.
And this is a guy who can take a beating. So, you know, he jumps into the middle of this. Voila, instant feud. You're breaking my heart.
And he's working, by the way, from what I was reading tonight, he's working with a little bit of a hurt wrist. Not going to miss any time, though.
No, he's been through. He's done more with worse injuries.
Mm-hmm. And let me tell you something. If you think that Dean Ambrose is going to stay out, I got one thing to say. Nope.
I almost wish I had that as a soundbite, but no, it's hard to hold him down, and he will just go out there and do it. I mentioned with the tag teams, I think that the New Day is going to end up going back up against the Usos, especially now that with Sin Cara hurt, over the whole tag team of the year mess. Which, no problems here. What else do we have? Oh. We had a botch. A giant botch.
Oh, yes.
This isn't in the notes, but it's such a giant botch that I'm surprised I didn't hear Matthew laughing. Big Show shows up, cleans out a ring full of B Carters, and declares that he will be in the Rumble. And the way he said it, everybody was confused. Are you saying, are you going to be the first entrant, or are you the first to declare? Because it could have been taken either way. So who was scratching their head after he said that?
I was.
Me.
Because I was like, why would you say that you want to be first in the Royal Rumble? Show's got nothing to prove.
And he's not relevant. Sorry.
No. I agree. He can be in the Rumble, but he's just going to be in there for Kane to throw out. or Ryback or Strowman. He's not going to win.
Strowman would be the best guy to do it right now.
Yeah, I would, and I would pay more than $9.99 to see that. So, good on your show, but you're better than that. Come on, man.
And by the way, I think Roman Reigns is over. It's been 3 weeks, but he's over. Is he?
I think he's quite over. Oh, I might be biased. However, you, sir, were in person and directly above the entranceway that he came out when Stephanie was pitching a bitch fit wanting to talk to him. Or no, I'm sorry, Vince was demanding him come. Well, shoot, which McMahon was looking for him first?
Vince.
It was Vince first.
Okay.
Because here's how it was set up. Vince was saying, "We got a score to settle. So Roman Reigns, get your ass out of here." So he comes out. Crowd goes wild, and basically he's like, "You don't go to apologize to me." Nope. I ain't doing nothing. So he's like, "All right, fine. Get out of my ring." Nope. All right. So then Stephanie comes out and brings, I think, a couple of legit New York detectives.
I'm guessing the one detective who spoke, he must be local and legit.
Because he sounded like a cop to me. He sounded like a no-bullshit New York cop. And eventually what happened was that Vince put his hands on a cop and got arrested. And he got arrested.
If this wasn't staged, Vince would have been shot.
Yes.
No, you know, RSBS, if this had not been, you know, in front of 10,000 people... New York's finest knows exactly what to do when something like that goes down.
Yeah, bang, bang, two to the head. There you go. I mean, no disrespect, but yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Don't get cute. Three shots to the chest. Anyway, hi.
So he was taken away, and there was some awfully bad mug shots, okay?
A deliberately bad mug shots. Oh, my God. Yeah.
And then later on in the night, he's like, and then, of course, Stephanie's going, "I'm calling McDevitt. I'm calling McDevitt." And, of course, you know, we all know that, you know, McDevitt, you hear the words McDevitt, you shit your pants because he's the legal eagle.
Yeah, Jerry the Pitbull McDevitt, as I like to call him.
Yes. So eventually he was bailed out of jail. And believe me, living in New York and VRM, you know this, no bail actually works that quickly. Thank you so much. Never. And then he turned to the arena. We returned to the arena, if I may sort of segue into something else that happened that night.
Okay. Mickey. Sure.
Because what happened was that we had the return of Hakeem in a match for the U.S. title with Alberto Del Rio of the League of Nations.
Mm-hmm.
Wait. That's not the proper way you welcome John Cena back, okay? Because you have to remember what his name is.
And his name is John Cena! Wow. That's cool. I like that.
That, ladies and gentlemen, is the soundbite that launched 1,000 Vine memes.
Okay.
And who says radio isn't relevant anymore? I do. Thank you.
Yeah. No, that's pretty cool. Because, flashing back a little bit, John Cena and Alberto Del Rio had a really cool exchange, a really good promo battle, and it was funny when Alberto called him Juan Cena, which is
to you which you're supposed to stand up from your chair and yell continuity
and get the mariachi band ready. Da 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 da. Maracas. All right.
You just gotta watch out for the
shows up on the entrance ramp for no reason. I don't know why, but
no, there's just the one big clandestine mariachi.
Pay attention to me.
Yes.
Oh, I don't think you'll see him anytime soon. No.
I know, but I had to put that in there. Still my favorite CM abbreviation, clandestine mariachi punk. Anyway,
yes. Yeah.
So they basically got into a very good promo battle, and Cena got Alberto Del Rio to put up the title in a U.S. title match. And what happened was is that the League of Nations got, you know, of course, helped DQ it was a DQ thing, and Roman Reigns helped, you know, with the save. So then Vincent Kennedy McMahon comes out after Bale and says that Sheamus and Roman Reigns are going to fight for the title, and Mr. McMahon will be the guest referee on the first official show to on the road to WrestleMania. For real. So this coming Monday, the road to WrestleMania starts. There it is.
So once again, the deck is stacked against Roman, and he'll just Superman punch right through it. Yay! Anyway, hi. Despite some of the good stuff that happened on this show, Jason, you know, points for some of the little things that we got to see, but minus a few million for the rest of your peers in that crowd.
I didn't think, as I said, look, you know, I love wrestling crowds and I love active wrestling crowds. The crowds that I hate are the self-important BS crowds. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
There's good self-important BS and there's bad self-important BS. And this was bad.
Well, like I said, I give points to the League of Nations for essentially middle fingering the crowd back for doing the wave.
Yes, because they did it with them. Yes. So, and then we got the "We Are Awesome" chant. No, you weren't. Sorry. No, you were not.
Well, since you're in the studio, Jason, you won't be in the way of this. Or if you want to, take at least two steps to your right.
Okay. Yo! Hey!
That's why I told you to get out of the way, man. I wasn't going to get you in there with them.
No, I know. I barely missed it, but yeah, thanks. Thanks for the warning. Good grief.
So,
just dumb. That's one thing I hope in 2016 we don't see a lot of, which is dumb crowd action, from fan jumping to stuff like that. So we'll see.
So Cena's back. Now what? Brian, VRM, any thoughts?
Well, I mean, he's going to enter the Royal Rumble. We know that much. I don't know if WWE has the nerve to make him win the Royal Rumble.
Minor spoiler alert, the Rumble is in Boston. That scares me.
But the hometown rule.
Has that ever played in a Rumble, though?
That's what I'm trying to figure out. Let me look something up. Live research, ladies and gentlemen. Talk
about technically, if there's no precedent for it, who cares? It's John Cena's son. I mean, you know, the horn, the alarm goes off in Boston no matter what, so. Even if it sounds like it's had one, two,
even
many.
If it sounds like I still need to fix it.
I think it's drunk. Soundboard, you're drunk. Go home, Maggle.
Let's see. Cena does not need to win the Rumble.
You know that, and I know that. Brian, Verm, Jason, Carl, we all know this. But given that Vince is a desperate man, i.e., Dwayne coming to Texas, you don't think he wouldn't take the chance and put Cena in one more main event just to make sure the card has something big to look forward to?
Maybe.
That's the only thing. That's the only thing.
I think closest so far that I found is Taker in San Antonio in 2007. I'm still going back, though.
Didn't Michaels win in San Antonio? The Rumble?
Well, I looked up 06 because I thought for some reason that was in El Paso, but it was or San Diego, but it was in Miami. So you can skip 06.
Mm-hmm. 05 is Batista in Fresno.
That didn't know. See, this doesn't correlate. It could still happen. I don't want it to happen, and a lot of us don't want it to happen.
Boston, though, is the most receptive town to Cena, so.
Sort of, but again,
than any other. There are more adults who will cheer for Cena in Boston than any other city.
And this, it's going to be very interesting to see if, I mean, do they keep the reign on Reigns till WrestleMania? Because I think they have to.
I'd like
them
to.
No belt should switch.
And that's why we need a heel to win the Rumble.
But by the same token, in recent years, we've seen a lot of face versus face main events for the title. So, it'd be ideal if a heel won. But look at the roster right now. How many big name heels are there that would draw more than your average wrestling viewer every Monday night?
Well, Kevin Owens is up there.
But I don't think he sniffs the title yet. I think closer towards the end of the year he sniffs at the title. They want to cement his place in the mid card first a little bit more, I think.
More? He's only just starting to lose matches. I don't know. It's, you know, Jason's got a point. We don't have a whole lot of main event heels right now.
Having gone through the whole list, like I said, the closest one is Taker in San Antonio in 2007. He's the closest one.
Okay. So that doesn't apply, but it makes sense. You know, it makes sense in this case because it's so hard to get people to cheer for Cena. Since I will personally cite 2008.
Oh, yes. Shit, it's John Cena.
I want the live audio of that.
What are you guys talking about? Oh, when he made his... Oh, and he came back at number 30?
A shocking return, and he won the damn thing. Yeah.
Yeah. And you knew
and how quickly it turned.
Just the speed of which this New York crowd went from holy shit to shit. The speed of this.
You could snap your fingers and it wouldn't be quick enough.
Exactly. I mean, you know,
it was fucking theater is what it was.
Yeah. I mean, I was there. I heard it. I know it doesn't sound like that on the WWE Network version, because that's going to be from the DVD.
Sweden.
So, yeah, if they're going to have Cena win the Rumble, I might have to be very careful where I'm sitting.
That too, yes.
So let's see. Yes. I'm going to step away from that little bit of bad business to another little bit of bad business.
Mm-hmm. Well, you are a Heyman, so you're used to that.
Yeah. Bouncity, bouncity, bouncity.
It is now time for me to do our mandatory discussion of TNA.
Oh, Mom, do we have to?
Oh, no.
But. Little Brian, if we talk about it, we'll give you some pop.
Some pop, you say?
Yes, yeah, some delicious
On his side of the country, it's Coke.
Oh, okay.
I thought it was still...
No, it's pop in Tennessee, it's pop.
You guys talk about that. I'll go fix Jason's mic.
You do that. I'll the chair's warm. Thank you, Jason. TNA, yeah.
And the reason I bring them up is because somebody was smart enough to stick their ads during Raw and SmackDown. So you know it wasn't Dixie's idea.
I must preface by asking the question. Were these ads preceded by or followed by what looked like a local or regional ad? Because it could be in the local insert window. Even still, a smart move by Impact to advertise during WWE programming.
You see, this is how you do it. You don't put a frickin' billboard in Stamford.
Well, depending on where they put it, which you're right, it might be in the local slot. And I have
like every half hour you get like or every half hour to 40 minutes or hour even you get like a minute of local ad space available.
So,
which of course in Tennessee. Sorry, Nikki.
No, I was just going to say, still they were able to get ad time during WWE programming.
Agreed, yeah. And that's a smart move to help people know where TNA is and to know what the hell pop is.
Although the thing is, it's just, I don't see how that would be even allowed. Like, doesn't WWE like have like some say over who gets ad time or whatever?
Not really, because it's the ad revenue that keeps them on TV. So it doesn't matter where the money came from.
Yeah. They've got the bottom line money each year. And from, again, if it's local stuff, the local inserts, that goes to the cable companies and the cable providers. Those are the people you shell out for. Like, for example, here in the Delaware Valley, it's a Comcast Spotlight that runs local ads once an hour. Bottom line, you have the dime, we'll give you the time, as it were.
So,
if you got the money, honey, I've got the time.
Brian Henniger's greatest hits. Listen to Brian as he sings Conway Twitty.
Hello, darling.
Oh, geez.
Oh, God.
I was expecting slow hand, and I was expecting ovaries to pop. Well,
that's... Anywho.
Moving
before
on.
Before we get any further off topic.
Sorry about that.
At the end of the day, Brian, WWE doesn't give one flying turd about TNA.
They don't. They absolutely don't. Considering
they don't.
Much of their big name talent's already in NXT or thinking about it.
Yes.
And because they are, despite low ratings, still having ratings that would give Dixie Carter, would get Dixie Carter, how nice can I say this? Moist. It's just, you know, in fact, the latest numbers. Shall I give you the latest numbers?
Yes, because I haven't been paying attention to the numbers.
Gee, I wonder why. Because you have more pressing things to do. That's why.
I've got a lot of more pressing things to do. And if I get 3 minutes later in the show, I will have much more pressing things to discuss.
Go on. Hey, now. Okay, so they've been on Pop technically for a week or so with best of specials leading into the live show, which will be, I guess, next Tuesday. There will be another, before much longer, there will not be a night of the week in which you can't watch wrestling. Tuesday's TNA best of, according to our buddy CJ Quinn at WrestleChat.net. Thanks for being a partner again this year. Drew 136,000 viewers. That is up 25,000 viewers from the week before. So it's a comparable number to what they were getting on Destination America. A little bit of a small drop, maybe percentage-wise, but it's comparable.
And let me see what I've got from Mikey.
Oh, this all
regarding. Oh boy.
Well, let's see.
So Mikey? Okay. Do 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 do.
I get it.
Video challenge. No.
No.
Not gonna rap. Not gonna rap.
Okay. Rap. Let's see. The fact that this is their third network in 3 years, if they manage to somehow screw this up and get canceled, they'll probably somehow screw this up and get canceled in a year or less. Do we really expect some idiot network to give them a fourth chance?
But here's the thing.
If number four chance was to even remotely happen, Dixie will be anyone giving them any money.
Okay. Now that we have the tinfoil opinion out of the way,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to give TNA some credit.
Why?
The fact that they still have, that they've been trying to find TV and trying to get on TV, you've got to give them a little bit of credit that they found another home. They are, you know, they may be on life support, the defibrillator's in, but they're still trying to get their product out to the masses. I give them that much credit. That being said, I do agree with just about everything else Mikey said. But, you know, it's... I don't know. I don't know what else to go with.
Well, he also took some time to make fun of TNA Mecca, which is not hard.
Of course not.
As they're, you know, they're still waiting for some sort of savior, especially with this new Twitter handle out there, @TheMiracleTNA. So we're trying to figure out if this is for Taryn Terrell with the new religious gimmick, or if TNA is just going to copy New Day whole hog.
What? TNA copying something WWE's doing?
No. The other thought is that might be somebody doing Bo Dallas, but who would copy Bo Dallas?
Not someone even who's Bo. Very, 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 very desperate.
Eric Young?
Ooh. Ooh.
Sorry.
Ooh, ooh. Did we mention also that Ring of Honor has sort of kind of found a new home as well?
Where did they get moved to?
Welcome to Digital Subchannel Wasteland.
Oh, shit.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Starting, let me see if I can get this correct. I only know this because we just got this network. In fact, they actually have started Nash airing on this network. It's called Comet.
Who?
Is it next to Cupid?
And Donder and Blitzen, yes, exactly. Ring of Honor's on the Comet television channel. Check your local listings to see if you get the sub channel. It's available in Okay, the network started out by October 31st of this past year. They were in 65 million homes. The debut is in New York, Los Angeles, Chicago, Philadelphia, Seattle, Denver, St. Louis, San Francisco, Oakland, San Jose, DC, Boston, Pittsburgh, and Houston. In addition to all markets that have Sinclair-owned TV stations.
Yeah, Comet is the Sinclair-MGM joint venture.
Along with Tribune and Titan-owned stations. By the way, the Comet channel here in Philly replaces a one-year-long sub-channel of nothing but Mummers reruns. Ah, because racism never goes out of style.
It gets even better. There is no... There is no New York Comet, but I guess we have Sinclair. Let me see if we have a Sinclair affiliate in here.
Check your local listings for something. And they tout, of course, the Destination America 26-week deal with 227,000 viewers at its peak. So, you know, yay. And this is a science fiction multi-channel network Comet is, so... We've been down this road before. Hey, ECW on Sci-Fi. Hey, SmackDown on Sci-Fi. So,
shoot, I should have bookmarked this.
Yeah, okay. We don't have in New York metro area either Comet or Sinclair.
You lie.
Okay.
So two new homes, same kind of results, sadly.
And speaking of all of these little independents, since there's not a lot of indie darlings left to sign because Hunter went and got most of them,
mm-hmm.
Two guys that are saying, "Hey, who wants to pay us a whole lot of money to do flippy shit?"
I like flippy shit.
Okay, Do the names Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly mean anything to you?
Off the top of my head, no.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, these guys from Ring of Honor.
Yeah. Now, mind you, I'm going off the board here and looking at Inquisitor.com. So if anybody wants to confirm it through WrestleChat, go ahead.
Okay.
These two are, you know, are feeling out offers, and according to a headline here, they're thinking about staying with Ring of Honor instead of signing with the WWE. You know, big fish in a small pond, or freedom, you know, freedom and flexible schedules. I could also make a joke that they wouldn't be allowed to have a feud immediately with the Vaudevillians who stole their gimmick. Well, I can't say who stole what, because Simon Gotch was doing all that crap before he was even signed. Mm-hmm. But
Folks.
Yes.
Not to change the subject, but I just heard some news, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
Jerry Lawler has confirmed that he's going to be staying on SmackDown alongside Mauro Ranallo when he starts up on USA next week.
Awesome. Yay. I am okay with this, but Booker T's still at the table, isn't he?
He is. It's going to be Booker T, Mauro Ranallo, and the King.
What the hell is a shucky ducky quack quack? A shucky ducky quack quack.
Shucky ducky quack quack moment is trending world.
So Booker T, a Canuck, and a King at the table.
As they walk into a bar.
I'll say something right now. Mauro Ranallo is a phenomenal commentator.
Agreed. I've sung his praises too often that it's almost a bromance with me on this show. But the prediction, I don't know if you heard the last show, Brian, but the prediction I made is he will be calling a pay-per-view on the network by year's end.
Yes. Don't mean to bring them. I'm sorry to keep doing this, guys. I just got some news that just came a second ago. We have lost a legend here in Southern wrestling.
Mm.
If I may just briefly, then I promise I'll be quiet. Just heard news from Figure Four Online that Buddy Wayne, one half of the Nightmares, alongside Danny Davis, passed away. He was 81 years of age. Mm. Died of pulmonary fibrosis. He worked in the Memphis territory for a long time. He was a great wrestler and, by all accounts, a good man. And I misspoke. His son was Nightmare Kenny Wayne, but Buddy Wayne worked in Memphis for years and also worked in the Knoxville territory. Did a lot of work and a great in-ring competitor. And he will be missed. That's all I wanted to
Indeed.
Say.
Indeed, I mean that's the glory days right there, the Mid-South Coliseum and everything. When wrestling was truly wrestling, not this Ted Turner BS that he took on with, you know, the 90s and everything. True Southern style wrestling. He was one of those guys who was a part of that era and was a part of the fabric of that era. So he will be missed. Yes.
And so I'm done.
No, that's cool. That'll allow me to tangent a little bit. The reason Vince McMahon went to jail on Monday, and the reason why we didn't see the evil boss Dr. Levis Hugh on Raw, at least my suspicion, is that one of the people who was instrumental, and I'm using that in more than one way, in making Hunter the force that he is in wrestling, we lost early this week.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that leads us to the next question. Can Lemmy die? Judging from all the stories I keep hearing?
I think, Brian, you may have said it online. Lemmy and Keith Richards, you know, they were trying to outdo one another, and amazingly, Keith Richards actually won.
Yeah. I mean
both, both had incredible demons, and that's the nicest way to put it.
Well, you know, Lemmy was a guy who claimed that from his 30s, he drank a bottle of Jack Daniel's whiskey every day. A full bottle each day. Damn. He claims that he smoked like a chimney until very recently. He ate a diet that consisted of a lot of meat and cheese. He was just one of those guys who was determined to live fast, live life on his own terms. And along the way, wrote some of the most amazing songs that even I, a man raised on country music and 80s hair metal, can appreciate. But by all accounts, Lemmy was a genuinely good guy behind the scenes. He mm-hmm. was always funny. And, you know, it's weird to say. I don't think it's quite registered that he's gone yet.
The crazy thing, I was watching the Raw pre-show when the news broke in the 7 o'clock hour before Raw Monday night. And Corey Graves actually had the task of mentioning it to those who were watching on the network. And you could tell he was visibly shaken and moved by it. He had just mentioned just a week or two ago, he had one of the last interviews with Lemmy, which I'm sure is going to air on the network post-haste for part of his culture shock. And he spent several hours with him, and it was an experience like he would never forget. And you know, the question asked, you don't want to meet your heroes and your favorite people because they're never what you want them to be. It was not that case with Lemmy. He was everything and more, according to Corey, in person. Just a good dude, lots of laughs. And he was only diagnosed with it just a couple of days before his passing, if I'm not mistaken. Kind of a shock, yet when you know what kind of life he lived, kind of not a shock. The thing, of course, I'll always remember about Lemmy, great musician, great talent. His stuff for Triple H and Evolution is legendary. But for the love of God, and I'm not trying to desecrate the dead, for the love of God, will the son of a gun learn the damn words to his song when he tries to perform live at WrestleMania?
Lemmy, you're never going to live that down.
It put Botchamania on the map, for God's sakes. Oh, it was, and it's, and look, if I didn't know what the words of the song were, I was like, okay, yep, he's into it, he's into it. But every other thing, all about the game. I'm like, okay, we know it's all about the game. There are a few more words to this, Lemmy. You can do this, bro. You can do this. This is WrestleMania. This is nothing compared to what you've done in your rock and roll.
Well, here's the thing. If you remember WrestleMania 17, he shaved off the mutton chops. He was clean shaven.
Yeah.
I think it was a Samson thing because that sapped most of his powers.
All that hair shaved off, it was disorienting and... Hunter, you know, atoned for that by wearing the Lemmy beard in 06. So
I will say this much, though, because you're talking about him in WWE. From what I can gather, you know, Lemmy was a big wrestling fan just in general. Mm-hmm. You may remember, of course, that ECW had the Sandman and he came out to enter Sandman when they could no longer get the rights to the Metallica version, because they just became so expensive. They had done a cover of Enter Sandman on one of their records, and they said, hey, you guys can use it. I gave it to them for a reduced rate and actually put it on one of their CDs. Mostly it was called Anarchy Rocks.
And I have that cut of it, and it's very good.
It is. I would listen to that over the Metallica version, personally.
Mm-hmm. I don't think I have the Metallica version, mainly because they'd send the internet police after me. But yeah, I mean that's a huge blow to the music world, to the wrestling world, and especially to the evil boss.
Which raises the next level question with what's going on in about 3 months or so. Do you make him the auto celebrity wing representative in the Hall of Fame? Because I think you do.
You put the whole damn band in.
Yeah. That's fair.
You put the whole damn band into the Hall of Fame.
Please. And you know what? You have them play in his honor at the ceremony, too.
Yeah. I yes, please. You know, I realize it's kind of, you know, I hate to see them go in before, you know, Jimmy Hart or Jim Johnston, but Johnston doesn't want it.
Jimmy really? Hart doesn't?
He doesn't like the spotlight.
Oh.
Yeah, even though he was it one of Lemmy's things, or was it just when they were doing the DX song? Johnston was visibly out there with the band. You have to look closely, but he was there on stage performing.
I'm just saying, Johnston should have been in the Hall of Fame like several years ago.
Yeah.
And Jimmy Hart is pseudo persona non grata because of his ties with Hogan.
Mm-hmm. That actually kind of lends itself into something Carl brought up to our attention and wanted me to bring up, I guess. When you talk about, you know, the Hall of Fame and some of the intentions of it, it actually played out. My buddy, and I only say my because some people don't like him here, Justin Henry, on WrestleCrap, he did... compiled. He wasn't the person who did it by himself. It was a collective thing, so don't kill the messenger for once in your life, please. Compiled a look back at the worst things, the 50 worst things that happened in wrestling. Among things that made the list, that talk about the, you know, getting Jim Johnston in, you know, in the hall. He mentioned the Warrior Award, which was interesting, but the reason he mentioned it was Warrior specifically wanted an award in his honor for a behind-the-scenes contributor, i.e. a Jim Johnston, let's say.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And instead they went with, you know, Connor McCaelic, who nobody in their right mind would say anything bad about, and neither will I, and neither will actually Justin, to be honest. But it's just the manipulation of what was supposed to be A, and it became B instead.
Mm-hmm.
I figured I'd bring up his top 10 and we'd go over them quickly.
Okay.
See if they fit the bill as the 10 worst things that happen in wrestling. First, some honorable mentions. Bill DeMott, his situation, leaving NXT as their trainer. Jon Stewart interfering at SummerSlam made the list. Also making the list, among others. WWE Hall of Fame announcements broken, air quotes, by TMZ. Cena's springboard stunner, the Rose Bush, Josh Matthews, voice of TNA. That should have been a lot higher than 31. I'm sorry. We talked about crowds jumping the shark. Machine Gun Kelly, no selling Kevin Owens' power bomb, which is funny. And of course, some guy named Hulk Hogan. Those all were not worthy of top 10 placement, though.
And one sports. More thing, if I can point out the debacle that was Triple Mania 23.
Yes. Triple Mania, yes.
I need to go see that. I should go look up that Botchamania and cringe. Actually, VRM, I'm guessing you didn't watch it because I don't think your tech can take all that.
I obviously his tech can't take it now.
Is he still back there? Okay.
Damn. Okay, he's still, I think there might be muffins in the new studio basement.
Here sooner than later. Go ahead.
Okay, I'll read them verbatim as he said them. Number 10, throw Mickey before the train. Yes, there was once a time when James Storm pushed Mickey James in front of a moving train. TNA assured us that Mickey wasn't actually dead, although some jokers did update her Wikipedia page to add a date after the birthday dash. I'm sorry, I love when people do that. It makes you wonder just how unsafe a working environment TNA really is. No wonder Samoa Joe had the white van ninjas drop him off at the WWE Performance Center.
Okay. Justin Henry isn't funny often, but that's funny. To the updating of Wikipedia, they did the same thing when Michael Cole got F5'd, so, you know.
His shoe should have gotten its own little birth date and death date, though.
Yes.
Speaking of Cole, well, first of all, let's handle this. I don't watch enough TNA, so I can't really vouch, but it sounds like a dumb thing.
Yeah.
Number 9, speaking of Cole, sort of, Byron Saxton gets sent out to die. After an irate Brock Lesnar murdered the commentary team during the typically frenzied post-WrestleMania Raw, Saxton served as the emergency break among all of the fun. So lifeless was Saxton that he may have been wheeled out during commercial break on a hand truck by Andrew McCarthy and Jonathan Silverman. Or maybe Saxton simply did what most fans today do and fell asleep in the second hour.
I disagree, and I protest. What happened to Saxton was that the man can talk, but he needs somebody to work off of. That's why they had to send Lawler out there. Because you got you know, you gave him a tall task. You're putting him out there to call a show, still show emotion that his fellow announcers in arms have been murdered, and still expect him to have some level of energy. And trying to juggle all that with Vince and Kevin Dunn screaming in his ear.
I will give him benefit of the doubt also in that he's not a play-by-play guy or a lead commentator, I guess would be the proper term.
He's your analyst. He's not good
for quips, not good to mention social media and, you know, raise your voice at the appropriate level. He was the Saxton bot.
So, yeah, I mean, he was put in a bad situation and I feel for him.
Also, it also kind of helped that maybe it made him sound like, and you know what, the fact that he sounded so unprepared, maybe that kind of helped sell the angle. It's that, you know, he sounds like he's just as in shock and awe and in unbelievability as all of us are.
And that was my argument day of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember. Number 8, Sting in 2015. Every bit of it. First, poor Sting gets wrangled into a story where he's defending a long-dead WCW against somehow heroic Triple H. Then Hunter beats him at WrestleMania by braining him with a sledgehammer, to which Sting shakes his hand afterward. Then Sting stands there like a statue for a main event segment on Raw prior to losing to Seth Rollins in Night of Champions, despite Rollins being worn down by Cena a match earlier. I didn't mind the Mania match, but everything kind of after that, it's almost the kind of thing where you're saying to yourself, yeah, we wanted Sting to come to WWE for at least a match, and it happened about 5 to 10 years too late.
Oh, I agree. And I was actually excited to see what he was going to do with Seth Rollins.
Powerbomb, though.
Again, Sting didn't blame Rollins.
Right.
He pretty much blamed himself. I'm 50-something years old. What the hell am I doing? So, I was interested to see where that was going to go, and I think that would have been the linchpin that would have started slowly turning Rollins against the Authority if he had stayed healthy. Mm-hmm. Then Sting got hurt. Then 2 weeks later, Rollins got hurt. Mm-hmm. And it didn't matter anymore.
There you go.
So, I disagree with that one, but next.
Okay, 7. Miz versus Miz Dow's lack of a true blow-off. I think you'll agree on this one.
100%.
One of the few intriguing feuds in 2015 in which the fans wanted to see comeuppance came when beloved and rejuvenated Damian Sandow had finally had enough of the Miz's unquenchable ego. The tease turned dragged out for well over 2 months, taking place on WrestleMania's pre-show, and Sandow, who had been widely cheered for months, was quickly jobbed out to Miz in a throwaway match on Raw.
See if I can get the soundboard to cooperate. Mm-hmm. Nope.
Hallelujah.
Still fighting with it.
Mm. No, I was trying to get it to boo, and it's not doing boo.
Of the 10 on this list, I think this one he may have nailed the most. Because
hey Nikki, yeah. Would this be okay?
It works. It fits.
I'll take that. But go on, Jim.
Because Sandow, Mizdow, whatever you want to call him, Sandow, he has not been on TV since. For anything
incorrect.
Meaningful. Let me rephrase that. He hasn't been on anything for anything meaningful since. The most he's done since that is rapping in the background of the Madden tournament on Up, Up, Down, Down, which, by the way, is freaking hilarious. He's going to do the halftime, allegedly. Good Lord.
The Miz versus Jack Swagger is the funniest one of all of them.
It is glorious.
But the best part is hearing the Miz going, I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. And then he gets his butt handed to him.
That's beautiful.
And then he leaves early, not even skunked yet. And then he gets skunked.
Yes.
That's messed up.
I want to see them play FIFA for some reason. I don't know why. Number
they
six.
They do. They do. It's like really, it's really early. It's Kofi and Woods.
No,
really,
but I mean like a tournament, another sports tournament. They're going to do another Madden tournament. That's a given. Number six, Dueling Canes. Seth Rollins was at one time booked as the focused and calculating tactician of the Shield, which explains what Triple H kayfabe saw in him. Then he becomes so dumb that he doesn't anticipate that corporate Kane taking a leave is the precursor to Demon Kane, or rather, 48-year-old cosplaying as a red angry bird, showing up to kick his ass. Rudimentary, gee-golly-gosh storytelling.
Yeah,
I didn't mind this.
I didn't either, and wasn't stupid. He called Kane out on it multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
If anybody was stupid, it was, you know, it was Hunter and Steph letting it go. Mm-hmm. Letting it play.
Yeah, I tend to agree. If anything, it rejuvenated Kane, in my opinion, a little bit. So I was fine with it.
Yeah, I was fine with it. I loved the duality. You know, this is the kind of schizophrenic shit we expect from Kane.
Fair enough.
Justin Henry, shut up. Oh, sorry. Next.
No. Number five might make you shut up because it's kind of if you blinked, you easily forgot this. Kane's job evaluation. Another attempt at infusing drawn-out Attitude-era-style comedy segments into today's product, only with more edited and re-edited scripting and less organic connection with the crowd. Naturally, Kane somehow survives the inspection of some well-to-do evaluator, despite Seth Rollins' fervent objections, and the crowd slowly dies. Shouldn't the first question be why a corporate officer answers to a mononym?
Actually, it should be more why did they actually drag somebody up from HR instead of getting an actress to make it at least sound a little more believable, number one. Number two, if this was real, real world, Seth would have been drugged backstage for retaliation. You can't do that in corporate America.
PC so, police online, too.
Next.
Number four. Okay, number four, I think we're going to get somewhere again. Suffering succotash. Complete with the image of Looney Reigns, a Roman Reigns cartoon. Best case scenario, Reigns lost a wager involving a first-round NFL playoff game and had to recite Sylvester the Cat's famous phrase as part of an honest-to-God wrestling promo. Worst case scenario, Vince McMahon thinks that Reigns is just like The Rock, spoiler, nobody is, and can make outlandish dialogue sound like the funniest thing ever. With that, the Roman Empire developed more troublesome cracks. Again, this was early in the year, remember.
Yeah, I know, but between that and Roman and the Beanstalk, which I don't know if that was late 2014 or early 2015, and I got really started getting the testicle jokes recently.
Mm-hmm.
Now we are too close.
Oh, by the way, speaking of testicle jokes, number three, tater tots.
I reiterate.
Yeah, 11 months later, Reigns ended Raw with Sheamus doing possibly the least watched third hour Raw since the shows expanded in 2012. It was here that Reigns made a testicular insinuation about Sheamus to the delight of a crowd thinning out as though somebody pulled the fire alarm. When Raw's number came in the following night of Dreadful 2.15, it was more an unpleasant expectation than a legit shocker.
Which game was that one up against again? I forget.
Oh, I forget too, but it was obviously a good Monday nighter. Enough said. Number two on his list.
Edmonton Eskimos versus the LA Extreme, I think it was.
Yes. Yes, sir. Number two, gotta agree, the 2015 Royal Rumble. Already a one-match wonder headed into the Rumble itself, all hell broke loose in Philly when Daniel Bryan was eliminated early. By now, you know that Reigns was booed out of the building en route to an insulting finishing sequence that required the presence of The Rock to try and stem the tide In all honesty, the 2014 Rumble was a better match than this. Reigns' win was secondary to lack of imagination.
No, Reigns' win was secondary to number one, Daniel Bryan. Number two being a year too late.
And number one, the Divas Revolution. At least with Reigns, there was a plan, says Henry. A poorly executed plan, but a plan regardless. With the Divas owing to the rise in fame of Ronda Rousey and the gold medal U.S. women's soccer team. Didn't think about that, actually. WWE called up some of NXT's finest females, cobbled them into some directionless version of the Teen Challenge series. Here's a reference.
Ouch.
And left the fans feeling completely shortchanged. Pray for Bayley when she gets called up. No, Justin, more like pray that Bayley doesn't get called up.
Doesn't Bayley want to stay down there? Isn't she on the short list of NXTers who are like, don't call me up?
Don't call me, I'll call you. Yeah.
I mean, between her, I know Balor was one of them. I thought Bayley was one. There's somebody else that wasn't in a hurry to leave.
Joe?
Yeah. But I think Joe, he's a day after Mania kind of guy.
Oh, yeah. Well, so is Balor when you get right down to it. But like you mentioned, Balor doesn't want to go. You can look at WrestleCrap.com for the full list of 50 events on Justin's list. And you can agree, you can disagree. And he mentioned some very positive points. And there you go.
So I see your top 10 and we'll raise you another top 10. A really weird and... does my thing work? Let me try this. Nope, it's not working.
The board isn't even up, so...
Oh, somebody kicked the board off. No wonder.
Yes.
Okay. I didn't realize... VRM, you got to tell me when you unplug these things. So, anyway, WWE.com puts up a top 10 list of things that they, not the WWE universe, but they want to see in 2016. So before I begin, please do not shoot the messenger. Starting from the bottom, number 10. Triple H finally wins his Grand Slam by winning the U.S. title. Does anybody see him taking on a regular schedule anytime soon?
For something so low.
No.
For something so low on the pecking order, no. No.
So, yeah, don't see that one happening. Number 9, a diva wins a male championship. Right now they don't have anybody on the Raw roster that can do that. We've got somebody on the NXT roster with time could do it.
That number 9 is a smack in the face to China.
Who is, by the way, in the hospital.
Oh. Her demons getting the best of her again, shall we say?
Last I read, there were people saying, I hope it's not an OD.
Oh, Jesus.
Let me see if I can find it.
As you find that, I'll expound a little bit. Shout out to the guys. I don't know if you guys have watched their YouTube videos, What Culture Wrestling. Their stuff's awesome.
I've seen a few of them.
Yeah. One of the things they mention is there's a video about things, the 10 things they almost pulled the trigger on, and they almost pulled the trigger on China. I want to say it's winning the Royal Rumble or getting a chance at going for the big belt. Back in the prime of the Attitude Era. And let's just not mince words here. She could have done it. She could have easily done it. It's a smack in the face to her, and considering Triple H doesn't want her in the Hall of Fame, because God forbid Google China's name when you can also Google Superfly Jimmy Snuka for what he did.
Google Dana Brooke for some interesting doing.
Exactly. I mean, I wouldn't put it... I don't think it'll happen, but I wouldn't put it past them to consider it. I'll say that much.
Never happen, though, because we are in a society right now that is so obsessed with, and rightly so, obsessed with domestic violence and spousal abuse, and we should be very focused on that. Do you really want your organization to feature men fighting women?
It's not PG. Mattel does not approve. Onward.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not... I thought I saw something... I could have sworn I saw something on that on my Facebook feed. That doesn't mean anything.
TMZ thing, maybe?
I saw that she was in the hospital near Christmas.
I'll see what I can find. You keep going.
Okay, next on the list. Number 8, a superstar wins the Royal Rumble in their Rumble debut. Now, some suggestions from the fan boards were Owens, Neville, or Strowman. I will take, out of those three, I would like to see Owens. Owens would be the one to go at that. Brian, do you have anybody you can think of?
Owens is probably the best choice. I'd like to see Ambrose have a chance at winning it, but
I don't think this would be his debut, but I would love to see Ambrose win it. Just because friends or foes, I could watch Ambrose and Reigns, fight each other, once a week and twice on Sundays. I might be a little biased.
Found a piece of information from the article. It was a Maryland Championship Wrestling event that Chyna was going to be at. She got violently ill, thought it could have been appendicitis. Let's see here. I'm just skimming through it. Like a bad flu, vomit, sharp abdominal pain. Yeah, so that's about all I've got out of it. So, right after Christmas.
Okay, that's the only thing I could find. I should have just copied over what I saw on my list.
Okay.
Number 7, Dean Ambrose breaks the Intercontinental Championship drought. Now, to explain this, what they mean is that they want to see Dean hold the Intercontinental title throughout 2016. That'd be kind of cool.
I'm saying there's a good chance of this.
I just wanted him in the main event picture, and can't do that with the IC title on your shoulder. But, again, my bias. Let's see. Number 6, a Hall of Fame diva returns to the ring, and there's been a couple of names bandied about that. Now, we were talking before the show, which diva's back on board? I know Lita was working as a trainer for a while.
Mm-hmm. Hi.
Hi, boss. Hey, boss.
I made a suggestion with the recent back and forth between Paige and Medusa on Twitter and Instagram and all.
A nice short feud.
Yeah, I figure why not? I mean, who else is she going to put with Paige?
Her mother. If she still wrestles. But if she's not available, Medusa's just fine. Let's see. Number 5. The Undertaker competes in a casket match sometime this year.
No.
That's a softball. I don't, I anticipate that if Taker works this year, he works his usual one or two dates. Although I honestly think he's just going to do a couple of things with Mania, retire and go to the Hall of Fame like he should. Then again, I've been predicting that he was going to retire for the last 13 years.
Mm-hmm.
So shame on me.
Who the hell do you think you are? Yes.
Indeed. Number 4, a woman joins the Wyatt family. So the Wyatt family's going to get another beard? Rim shot.
Oh, points. But they bring Sister Abigail from the dead?
That's possible, and would be just as screwed up, as most, supernatural continuities go. I'm talking about you, Kane. And if you recall some of the Wyatt footage from the FCW NXT days, he did have a couple of female followers.
Mm-hmm.
The trick is, who do you get? or does he enthrall somebody that's currently on the roster?
And there's another suggestion I made, actually, off air. Because their sisters want to try to get into wrestling, of course. I'm talking about the Bo Dallas and Bray Wyatt's sister. Mika, I think her name is.
Okay. And I think it would be creepy as hell. And then, yes, give me a Wyatt's Bo Dallas feud. I don't care if it's heel-heel. Just for the meta. Just for the meta of it all. And the feud ends when IRS walks out and arrests all of them for tax evasion. Anyway.
Good grief.
Sorry.
I thought that's why Vince actually got put in prison last week. But no.
Let's see. Number three. A WWE World Heavyweight Champion versus NXT Champion match.
See, very intrigued.
Yes, please. Even right now, Reigns versus Balor? Yes, please.
License to print money.
Yes.
And, you know, some of the diehard NXT fans would say, well, in some cases, we've already seen those matches. Yeah. Now let's see how they perform on a bigger stage. Will they translate? Hell yeah. Shut up and take my $9.99. And number one, John Cena will clinch his 16th world championship.
Hi, Keith.
Inevitable. Not much we can do about that.
Maybe not this year, though, but inevitable.
Oh, the way he's been talking since he got, what, Muscle and Fitness recently?
Mm-hmm, I think so. I think you skipped over one.
Did I? Yes, number two. Sorry. Roman Reigns teams up with The Rock. A tag team match with two of them on one side will take place at some point in 2016. Roman doesn't need it. It'd be kind of fun. What worries me is that Roman will end up third wheeling it. You can't share spotlight with The Rock. It just does, you know, that's hard.
Could it actually be detrimental to Reigns? You think about the last time the two buddies were hanging out together in Philadelphia. My goodness, The Rock might as well have been Troy Aikman or Tony Romo.
I just think it was one of those things where the crowd said, we hate Reigns, we don't care, you know, it doesn't matter who you are.
Oh, yes. I mean, the only reason I would say, I think number two is possible, very possible. If Reigns didn't have the title going into Mania, that would be a shoo-in because that would be your Mania match. Reigns and Rock against insert two foes, Triple H and somebody else.
Yeah.
That would be a perfect tag match. But Reigns has the belt. You can't waste the title on a tag match player. I mean, you could, but it would be...
Not at Mania. No. Bad move.
Well, no, but we've seen crazier things happen.
Admitted. We've had a football player. Hell
in a kennel.
A football player main evented WrestleMania.
This is true.
Yep.
In the back of a shopping center.
Oh, God. WrestleMania 11.
Yeah. Yes, so, yeah. where the open of WrestleMania consisted of nothing but the celebrities because we couldn't show anybody else because they're at WCW now.
Yeah. Although that was the first WrestleMania, I believe, that had to have like the Fan Fest, which is now ballooned into...
Access Week.
Access yes. Week, yes.
Because 23 in Chicago, there wasn't much. And I'm sorry, 22 in Chicago. 23 was in Detroit. And we just went up for Mania proper.
Yeah. I went to the Access at 27, and that was fun for me because I got to meet Jimmy Hart.
I mean, hey, Brian, baby! Brian, I love you! Love your fan, baby!
Yeah, 30 was fun for me, too.
Are you sure it was Jimmy Hart and not Mickey Mouse out of costume?
Oh, and I also got to meet Jimmy like this. I got to meet Scott Stanford.
Hey! New Year's resolution, we're getting him on the damn podcast sometime.
Now, Brian.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
You only went to one day of Access or more?
One day of Access,
yes. So did I, yeah. I had a good time at mine.
Well, I mean, I can't complain. I had the good luck. I got to, you know, I got called up on stage for a giveaway thing that Hillbilly Jim was hosting. And here's another one of those guys that doesn't age.
Yeah.
And then on my way to the arena, I watch as people are walking past Molly Holly. People are just ignoring. She's sitting down, so that might be why they weren't stopping.
Yes. You are correct, ma'am.
So, but I was baffled that people were walking past her. They didn't realize who that was. So, you know, that was about all the recruiting I got to do at 22. Yes, in 23, I got to see a presidential candidate not lose to Vince McMahon.
And take arguably the second worst stunner known to man.
Yes.
Linda cannot be topped.
Oh, I don't know. If there was video, if video existed of the one I supposedly took from Shark Boy.
Well, I mean, okay, we're talking about ones on, you know, that the
mask. You're talking Austin stunners, so.
Yes, yes.
Okay,
yes.
Fair enough. Although it gave us on the next night, and I got to see man in a Tom Landry hat. Epic. I'm not even a Cowboys fan, and I laughed.
And plus, you know, Vince has been where Jason Block wishes he could be between Lillian Garcia's legs.
And I have the picture that would make him insanely jealous.
I'm sure you do. Send it this way. All right.
Okay, I think we're going to get out of here before we get ourselves in any more physical or legal trouble.
Now then the restraining order's on me now. That's great.
Hi, Lillian. Anyway.
You rock. Yeah, but by the way, she was off of Raw this past week because she had laryngitis. She lost her voice the night before. Poor thing.
I did a audio double take when I heard Chimmel.
Oh. And Chimmel has gained the weight back, I'm sorry to say.
Sadly.
The Thanksgiving gravy bowl.
The women's championship.
It's women's! I'm begging you. That is Michael Cole at his greatest. Not the Jerry Lawler stuff post-heart attack. Cole at his greatest is just shitting all over Tony Chimmel. It's great.
But yeah, Tony Chimmel out of nowhere truly caught my ear. And since I was at the Brooklyn show, I was wondering if it was because Jason was in attendance and the restraining order still held.
Yeah. I tweeted to her, you know, you may want to lay low. There's a guy in there, his father's there too, and, you know, the father's, you know, the esteemed father's just as bad. But
I don't think he answered me when I texted him.
Yeah. What'd you think? So, did you get the look that you wanted to see at ringside? No, I just got to see Chimmel's ass. Oh.
No, I just put, did Lillian know you would be there? I heard Chimmel.
Yeah. Oh, it's a shame Jason left, had to leave early due to muffins, because we could have just went for another 10 minutes on that, but we're not going to.
What muffins? Those bananas.
B-A-N-A-N-A-S. Now,
put minions in there.
Banana? That does it. Ethan, you better be on my freaking show sooner than later. Anyway.
Yeah, brother.
But before we go.
Yes.
Yeah.
VRM, do you have anything to promote?
Got nothing.
Okay. I figured. So I shall open the floor to Mr. Williams and Mr. High Muckety Muck, because I'm sure they've got a nice long list of things to promote.
I will defer
Jim,
to Mr.
Jim, take it
Schmier.
First.
And I got something after y'all are done.
All right. Well, then we'll talk first. First of all, in addition to, of course, how you probably are listening to the show via a link on WrestleChat.net, you will be able to hear this very podcast on demand whenever you want, and every other freaking podcast we've ever done, be it a CLW83 network or CLW83, under one new banner, spectrum1.net.
Woohoo!
We're on Twitter at spectrum1net. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/spectrum1net. Carl has been just putting his ass on the line to do this, and it literally was an 11th hour thing, and we got it up, thank goodness. If we have some tech issues over the first couple of weeks, don't go off on us, please. But that's where you can find all the archived shows. In fact, I believe the address for our show is spectrum1.net/NAWC.
Yes.
Yes, so simple way to remember it.
And to piggyback off of that for what Jim mentioned, some of the archive programming that will make it onto Spectrum 1 will be up soon. It's just a little bit of a biatch to go through, almost 900 flipping posts. I got to change images.
Over 9,000!
And show links? It's going to take probably half a year.
Well, there you go. But it'll all be there. We're also going to be adding some programming over the course of the year, including Nikki and Mr. Waters' show, Paper Review. We'll be having that as we'll have a link so you can get to all the podcasts.
It is a link already, actually. I can unveil it now.
Okay, well, you unveil it then.
PaperReview.Spectrum1.net. It's pretty much a redirect to the site that he put up already, so that's all it is.
PaperReview.Spectrum1.net.
Yes.
Check it out, won't you?
I figured that'd be the easy way to go about it for now.
Yeah, agreed.
That's cool. We're taking a hiatus from it right now. Chris is currently lacking voice. That's the other reason why he's not here tonight.
And Shane has baby.
Yes, and Shane is babysitting, which means he's wearing a pouch. I had to get there before you did, Jim.
Oh, Mr. Nanny. Oh. Brother, come on. Brother.
And Jim mentioned new programming. Yes, Spec Riffs coming on January 11th.
It'll be a compilation early on of some of our old riffing shows, and then we'll do some new riffing. Me and Carl, hopefully Tom Delgado. Get better, Tommy. We need you. Do not... We will bail you out of jail for the Derby Fantasy Sports League ring you were caught in. It was a Ponzi scheme. You were caught red-handed, damn it. It's no fair. But we'll have Spec Riffs. All the other great podcasts you listen to, the BS Big Show, Touch 'Em All, which will be coming in another week or so after the Hall of Fame votes are announced. What else do we have? Pixel Nation, Brian!
You better believe it. The best video game podcast in the general area, and we are, and not only are we on Spectrum 1.
No,
because our year in review show is coming up very shortly, but when we come back for our new season, we are going to be, Carl, can I mention this now?
Yes, it's already been mentioned.
Well, anyway. We are going to be officially a part of the Freakin' Awesome Network.
Yay!
That is strong. So we are joining the North American Wrestling Connection as part of the Freakin' Awesome Network, and I cannot be any happier. I cannot be any prouder. I cannot be any more amazed that we have reached this milestone, and it's only going to get better from here, people. So. Stay with us. We're getting fun.
Also on the site, we'll do Red State, Blue State. It is the year. The year is finally here, 2016. Somebody's going to be president, whether we want them to or not. We'll go through that as we get closer to the first caucuses and such. What else am I missing, Carl? Because I know I'm missing something.
Oh, yeah, all the various RSSV type of things. It's under construction right now. Hopefully by the time this is up and maybe another show that it'll turn itself into Spectrum 1.
Mm-hmm.
But like no links are changing. I did change the feed burner feed to update to Spectrum 1. And hopefully the iTunes feed will actually return this time around.
That would be nice. And
Stitcher Radio, Player.fm, and tune in. Overcast and TuneIn Radio. Yep.
And I will say this, no promises, but I probably should have briefed you on this before, maybe some incentive reasons for you to go to the Spectrum 1 website. Let's just say you can buy maybe some stuff from Amazon coming soon and help support us at the same time. Nudge, nudge. We'll see.
Please, please, please and please.
Working on that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So, because these things don't... The servers, muffins, not regarding. They ain't cheap, folks.
And bananas, yes.
And tacos, yes. So
no tacos. We got rid of tacos.
I miss tacos, though.
Mexico's greatest imports?
Mexico's greatest imports, Maggle. That and Chi-Chi's.
Yeah, and also, here's an exclusive announcement.
Yes.
I will be unveiling a big announcement on the final BS Big Show of the season. That's going to be probably a few days after the Super Bowl.
Oh, and that's right. With this being the 50th Super Bowl, you best believe Spectrum One's going to be all over that.
Yeah.
A live cast?
Yes.
Oh, yes. A live cast. Now,
although it won't be actually live unless I can get some settings to work on my computer.
Right, but we will be doing as we have for the last 6 or 7 years, getting together all around the country, various contributors. Again, I maintain ESPN, they were watching us with the MegaCast stuff, because we did that shit first, people. Did we or did we not, Shaneer?
Yes.
We did that shit first. Sadly, we won't have Phyllis from Mogul call in and say, "Well, damn, Todd!" But...
Yeah, which reminds me, we're going to see what they're going to do for this year, if they're going to change it around for the CPF.
Please give me the Fine Bomb film room. I just want the Fine Bomb film room. That's all I want.
Right. College football playoff title game.
Indeed.
But very nice touch for the semis. They had the Deportes feed on two.
Right.
And they had the film room with Baldy and a few others.
With a penguin.
On SECN.
Yes. But back to the overall theme, Spectrum1.net, at Spectrum1.net on Twitter and Facebook.
And maybe Futility.com.
So,
right.
There you go. Brian, was there anything else aside from your fine podcast you wanted to promote? Actually, I know the answer is yes, because you actually had a hand in a recent episode of your favorite YouTube wrestling series.
Yes, I did.
Sick bastard.
Are a sick bastard.
Yes. What happened was is I bought some pizza for Matthew, and he liked it very much. No, I'm kidding. A Wrestling with Regret with Brian Zane. This happened a couple of months back. Do you remember when he did Vince Russo Will Change Your Life and got punched out by Jim Cornette?
Yes. Glorious.
Well, I had sent him a DVD that I thought he might be able to use, and he watched it while he was on the flight to get punched out by Mr. Cornette. He reviewed a few days ago. It was WOW Women of Wrestling Unleashed.
Oh, jeez.
Which, if you've never seen it before, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to live in that world. Is it happy there? It is one of the more infamous programs in history. But Mr. Zane, as he often does, turns it into comic gold. So check it out. Brian Zane, Getting It Done, just surpassed almost 70,000 YouTube subscribers.
Nice.
I mean, it is strong, and he is getting so much success from that show. I am so honored that I was in on the ground floor with it. But check it out, Wrestling with Regret, part of the Freaking Awesome Network at there, and also on YouTube, Wrestling with Regret. Make sure you put the W in front of the word regret, or else it won't quite work. Also want to promote one of my favorite online shows, The Oddity Archive with Ben Manott, pop culture ephemera at its finest. New episode this week, he reviews a rather infamous bit of tech, the VCR Rabbit, which was a device you could apparently use to watch VCRs in every room of your house. Sadly, Chaz and Dave not available for this particular rabbit. And if you get that joke, good for you. It's at theoddityarchive.com or just Oddity Archive on YouTube. And of course, Pixel Nation. We have a new episode coming up pretty soon. And that's all I got. I think that's pretty much all that I wanted to promote. But yeah, please check out Wrestling with Regret, the WOW Women of Wrestling Unleashed episode. If only because I don't want to have to suffer alone. And neither do you. So check it out.
I watched the episode. I actually think Brian was kind of, he held back, I think, a little bit on it.
He did. And he didn't mention the one thing I wanted him to mention, was that it is the only wrestling show that I've ever watched. And I've been a wrestling fan now for, 24 years?
Mm-hmm.
The only show I've ever witnessed that where the ring announcer announced the wrong winner to a match.
Yes.
Yes. Even Lillian corrects herself mid-name.
This guy, okay, may I tell the story really, really briefly? I can do it in like 30 seconds.
Okay, I'm okay. Timing you. Go.
Good. There was a match between these two guys named Bronco Billy and the Disciplinarian, and Bronco Billy wound up winning it, and the ring announcer says, "Your winner of the match, the Disciplinarian." Literally 15 seconds later, he goes, "Bronco Billy! Bronco Billy is your winner!"
Steve Harvey has an idol. Anyway.
Yes, he is.
Nick and Grandma!
All I gotta say is somebody's gonna get their ass kicked the night up in here. Yes.
Oh, gosh. Oh. that may be the series finale, the last thing he ever reviews, because, trust me, Heroes of Wrestling, it will drive you mad.
I remember, look, I bought both of those pay-per-views.
I'm sorry.
Actually, Dad bought both of those pay-per-views. No, actually, I think he didn't buy them. Statute of limitations is up, and so is this show.
They fell off the back of a truck.
Well, right, hang on. We're not leaving until I get to promote something.
Yes. Go for it, girl.
In 2016, I had made a couple of resolutions off of suggestions from various people. We need more names and faces on this show. So to any and all of our past and present panelists, please make yourselves more available. But that's not the only reason I bring that up. We need to have more names and faces to buy. It's always great to have the world's most positive promoter on the show. It is always great when I can finally get my hands on Super Oprah to show up working on it. I'm also trying to get a hold of a female wrestler from Indiana who I think would really have a lot of fun on this show. I've mentioned Chelsea. And Psychotic Peacock is probably the best way to describe her.
We're but like to get his her. People, she works in a sex shop.
Well, and before that, piercing at a piercing place called... So, yes, it's a colorful character we absolutely positively need on our show. But our show also needs heroes. Our show also needs role models. It's to take 3 minutes and talk to a Samoan.
Uh-oh.
No kidding.
January 8th, ladies and gentlemen, I have finally secured the services of superhero sidekick Rosie.
Yes!
I confirmed that during this broadcast. And I'm going to bring him on the show. And we are going to talk to him about what he's been up to. If you recall, he was released by the WWE in 2000. I know he worked independent circuit for a while and is now resting up in Pensacola running the Two Brothers Barbecue, which, by damn, if I was even close to Pensacola when I was home for Christmas, I would have stopped there. Mm-hmm. But every picture I've seen of him lately, he has a great big smile on his face and he is a very proud and happy man, and we are going to talk to him. I've had the honor of working with him on a couple of shows when I was working at Jimmy's, including the infamous conversation, "What are you doing here? I'm here to work. What are you doing here?" So, but yes, next week, do not miss it. I am bringing a hero to our show.
See, you were setting that up. You're talking about we need a role model. We need a hero. I thought you were going to bring us Fabulous Candy Charles again. And, well.
No, I could have. I was hoping you were going to say Hurricane Helms, but.
No. That's
to meet him at the Fanboy Expo last year.
Isn't he awesome?
He is awesome. He seemed a little bit out of it when I talked to him, and he made us been tired, but it was still fun. Had the mask, had his own custom Hurricane Helms belt that he had with him.
Yep.
Nice. But Rosie's on next week's show. Get the press ready.
So, everybody blow up their Twitter feeds. I might actually get on Twitter and advertise this.
Maybe a hashtag Rosie on NAWC.
Maybe after I get it up.
Yeah, just a thought.
We'll work on that. But yeah. this is your 3 minute. I mean, 7 day warning.
7 day and 3 minute. Mm-hmm.
7 days and 3 minutes warning. So with that, I shall now put a bow on this show. On our brand spanking new network with our still wonky equipment. But hey, brand new network. We got to get all the kinks worked out. It's just like putting Windows 10 on your computer. Oh, hi.
Beep. Flatline.
So, for the already departed Jason Block, for a very sleepy VRM, for Brian Henniger, for our chief high muckety muck Carl Chenier, who has put up with all of our nonsense and has gotten this network off the ground, for Jim Williams, who provides some awesome audio and always will, my name is Nikki Heyman. You have been listening to the North American Wrestling Connection. Please stay with us. More surprises to come.
Stay rosy, my friends.
The preceding podcast has been a presentation of Spectrum One, online and on demand at SpectrumOne.net.